Good evening, and welcome to a one-night stand with the big bands. Tonight featuring one of the hottest bands of the 20s, Gene Goldkett. Once a month, WTIC Radio presents the sounds of the big bands. We've had as our guests Benny Goodman, Harry James, Woody Herman, Stan Kenton, Helen O'Connell, Bob Eberle, and many others. Tonight, a bit of a departure, though. One of the great bands that preceded the big band era. Welcome to a one-night stand with the big bands, tonight featuring Gene Goldkett. This is Arnold Dane, and a one-night stand will be brought to you by WTIC and by Russo Chevrolet, across from Bradley International in Windsor Locks, where the great spring sale of all new Chevys is going on now. Listen to the music of Gene Goldkett. Gene Goldkett, one of the legendary names in the field of American popular music. To many fans, the big band era actually began in the middle to late 30s with Goodman and the Dorseys and Glenn Miller and all. If there was a good jazz band, an ensemble band to precede them, it was Whiteman in the minds of many, and only Whiteman. Well, tonight we'd like to introduce you to, or perhaps remind you of, the Goldkett Band. Metronome called it the band that rocked the nation. Variety was even more extravagant in its praise, describing it as the greatest band of all time. It included such great jazzmen as Bix Beiderbecke, Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey, Jimmy McPartland, Frank Trumbauer, Hoagie Carmichael. And our guests tonight, trombonist Spiegel Wilcox, arranger Bill Challis, and the inimitable jazz violinist Joe Venuti. Goldkett was born in France in 1899, came to the United States in 1911. In 1923, he became owner of the Greystone Ballroom in Detroit, largely because the management couldn't meet the band's payroll. He dropped the 5-cent a dance policy and went to a straight admission. He changed the dance hall into a ballroom. Goldkett reminisced later, "When I became my own boss, I was responsible to nobody. I felt the thing to do was to leave the band alone. After all, I'd hired the best musicians I knew. I hired them because of their talents. It would have been an insult for me to have tried to make them play in any way other than their own. These men were left alone to express themselves, and that was the guiding genius behind my band." Listen to the sounds of Gene Goldkett.
Sunshine, the second is rain, the third one the roses that grow in the lane. You know there's no need explaining that one remaining is someone that I adore. looking over a pretty little four-leaf clover that I overlooked before.
The Gene Goldkett Band in either late 1926 or early 27 with I'm Looking Over a Four-Leaf Clover, featuring a vocal by a famous vocalist of that time, Billy Murray, and featuring the hot jazz violin of Joe Venuti, who will be another of our guests later in tonight's program. Russo Chevrolet and Windsor Locks wants this coming summer to be the best summer you've ever had. The summer you see the USA in a beautiful new Chevy. That's why they're offering special spring sale prices on all their beautiful new Chevy models. Many young families get carried away by Chevelle. Others prefer the Impala, a car that starts you relaxing before you get where you're going. Or how about the sporty Camaro, the economical Nova, or one of the many handy wagons? Stop in and talk to one of Russo's experienced salesmen. He knows his products, and he'll be happy to show you the features of all the exciting new Chevrolet models. At Russo, you'll find over 100 new Chevys in all models, and all at tremendous savings during the great spring sale. There's immediate delivery on most models, so make 73 your year for Chevy and for Russo Chevrolet. Russo Chevrolet, just minutes from Hartford. Take the Bradley exit from I-91, then the first exit to Russo Chevrolet, directly across from Bradley International in Windsor Locks. Gene Goldkett, what a great legendary name that is in the big band business. And it seems that the farther away that we are from the days when he recorded, the more we appreciate the genius of not only the man Gene Goldkett, but the members of his band. If you don't mind a bit of personal history, my first exposure to big band music came in the small hometown of Cortland, New York, when the weekly mixers at the Y had live music, always provided by Spiegel Wilcox and the orchestra. It didn't take a very discerning ear to realize that Spiegel was a very talented trombonist. We all sort of took it for granted, though. A short time later, I was playing clarinet with Spiegel, not in his band, unfortunately, but in the Cortland Civic Band. There was a lot of great talent there, but Spiegel was the guy who was always the center of attention, warm, witty, and outgoing. You don't have to blush when I say this, Spiegel. It has long been the ambition of Brian Hartnett, the producer of this program, to do a one-night stand with the music of a band that preceded the big band era, Gene Goldkett. And here is his chance and ours. Spiegel was one of the members of that fabulous band of the 1920s. So as we begin, I'm not even sure how to begin an interview with an old friend like you, Spiegel.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, that's a good way, isn't it? Well, I've known you now for about 20 years or so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let me give some of the early background on Newell Wilcox, nicknamed Spiegel, much to the dismay of his parents, by the way. Began playing valve trombone at the age of about 12 in Cortland, joined the Sunday School Orchestra, and played at the Normal School, which is now the State University of New York at Cortland, by the way. Also at the Manlius Military Academy, and at the age of 15, Spiegel was already playing professionally. Right after Manlius, went to Ithaca with the Big Four Orchestra, which was a band composed of Cornell students. This is the band, I believe, that was brought to New York as Paul Whiteman's Collegians. And to be honest with you, Spiegel, I don't remember them.
The Collegians kind of got lost in the shuffle. I mean, you know, every band has been written up about, and it was kind of lost for some reason. We were engaged to go right into a place called the Rendezvous on 44th or 45th Street somewhere, and the big thing was Gilda Gray. Did you ever hear Gilda Gray? Oh, she was the shimmy.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, she was something else. And at that time, she was with the Ziegfeld Follies, you know. And so every night at floor show time, she would bring about maybe four or five girlies with her. And she was something else. And that was quite a thing for me, I mean, in those days. I made $125 a week I mean, for a kid, I'm making more than my father.
But after, oh, about a year, perhaps even less, you left that band to go back to Cortland, Spiegel. Why?
You know, you like to get on Main Street and say, hey, hi, and have somebody say hi.
Yeah.
And then that summer, I was invited to go over to, I bet you won't know this, Arnie, I mean, Wasco Park. Don't you remember Lakeside Pavilion?
Yes, yes.
You had Jitney Dances there, Diamond
Dance.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, this is where that Gold Cup thing came in. Golly. That summer, there was a big military band made up of the National Guard, and it came from Freeland, Pennsylvania. Now, the main thing is that a fellow that was just playing with the band was a guy by the name of Fuzzy Farrar, and Fuzzy Farrar played the lead trumpet in the Gene Goldkett band. See, I never heard of him, knew him, but he came over one afternoon, we were playing these Jitney Dances. He said, I'm here on a two-week vacation with my old buddies from Freeland, Pennsylvania, and he says, I play in Detroit. He said, I play with Goldkett. I pretty near fell down. I said, who'd you say you played with? Goldkett. And I said, man, can't you come over and sit in tonight? He said, yeah. And he came over, and oh, I remember. Freddie Farrar played so beautiful that night. And he asked me, he said, would you ever consider coming out to Detroit, the Goldkett Band? And, you know, I said, does a dog bark or something like that? Trying to think of something tricky, you know. So I said, I sure would. I said, I do have a commitment. I'm going to New York to join the California Ramblers. I know you must remember that band.
I've read about them.
Well, Adrian Rollini was one of the, that bass saxophone player. And so I kept my commitment, but I got several wires in New York, and I didn't like New York City. It's too busy. And I said to myself, I'm going to Detroit. I went. And I remember going up to the office, Gene Goldkett office that day, and I'm sure there was a Don Murray in the office, Howdy Quixel. So I had to ask somebody, I said, do you know where I'm supposed to report tonight? And some guy says, well, I don't know. He says, I guess you're supposed to be down to the Book Cadillac. And finally some guy said, no, he said, I think you're down here in the Greystone in the with the Victor Band. So now the only guy that I knew all out there, and I hadn't seen him yet, was Fuzzy Farrar, you know, the guy that put me on. And so I got down to the Greystone that night, and there, guess who was leading the band? Russ Morgan. He was leading the band. I remember, and there was a guy by the name of Fud Livingston. He died early, and he was playing the sax, and Doc Riker, of course. Oh, Doc, he's alive yet. Doc and Don Murray. And in the back row for trumpets was Fuzzy, number one. And then Ray Ludwig, he played the trumpet. And on drums was Chauncey Morehouse. On bass was Steve Brown. And piano, I'm pretty sure it was Paul Mertz. He's from California. And I'll see who I left out. And Howdy Quixel on banjo. And oh, my buddy. And what a guy. He still blows. Always tremendous. His name is Bill Rank.
Let's listen to the way the band would have sounded just about the time Spiegel Wilcox joined it then, with a great song from the 20s and the great sound of the Gene Goldkett Band with a vocal chorus by the guys in the band. Give me a little kiss, will you, huh?
heard if I were asking for the world. What's a little kiss between a feller and his girl? Oh, give me a little kiss, will you, huh? And I'll give it right back to you.
Now back to your story, Spiegel. You had arrived. You were a member of the Goldcat Victor Recording Band.
2 weeks maybe after that, Fud Livingston, he left or something, and in came a guy by the name of Jimmy Dorsey. Now, I don't know. I know Tommy was playing with the band, and whether he left or was fired, I mean, he was capable of both. It wasn't because of his musicianship. I'll tell you there.
Yeah.
You know that. And we played several months with that group. It was several months after that, in 26, early 1926, I'm sure Jimmy Dorsey went out, and in came a guy named Frank Tromberg. And, of course, he brings in his buddy, Bix.
Those are two of the legendary names, Spiegel. What kind of a person was Beiderbecke?
Oh, he was nice. He was a kind guy. I never heard him say anything mean about anyone. I mean, that's that old corny saying, if you can't say anything good, he must have originated, maybe.
He was around for such a short time, and yet he made such a tremendous impact. What was it, technique or tone or the combination?
Oh, it was his style, too. And then, of course, he never went way up, you know. He wasn't a screecher, ever. But he just had that unusual style. It's hard for me to describe it, except everyone loved it. It's a funny thing, as I remember, that band... we'd fool around a lot and kid around and a lot of horseplay, but I'll tell you, when we got on that stand, it just seemed to be everyone's bag to play good. I mean, every number, every night.
There's a lot of clarinet woven into these arrangements. Who did most of it?
The arrangements was, that's a good question, because we had some fine talent right in the band. Now, Don Murray, one of his arrangements was Sunny Disposition.
Spiegel, I think you might be interested in a quote from James T. Mayer about Sonny Disposition. He writes, "One of the most chattering moments in American writing comes late in John O'Hara's epitaph for the Jazz Age, Appointment in Samara. Julian English has had it. Drunk and alone, he listens for the last time, screaming with jazz to his favorite records. The phonograph stopped itself, but he was up and changing it to Gene Goldcat's band playing Sonny Disposition. In a short while, English was dead, defeated in a small private war. O'Hara, with his fine ear and troubling sensibility, heard under the peppy gaiety of Goldcat's music the resonances of an era, the gathering hysteria that quickened Julian English's terrible ending. Goldcat's was a superb jazz band." It's kind of a bit of background on Sonny Disposition.
Isn't that funny? Because Sonny Disposition didn't get real popular. I mean, but I'm sure it was Don Murray that conjured up that thing.
Right.
Maybe he had a little help from Howdy, you know, Quixel.
Thank you. sunny disposition, we'll always see you through. When up above the skies are black, instead of being blue, Mr. Trouble makes our faces roll on. But a smile will have him saying so long.
I'm on my way.
It really doesn't pay to be a gloomy pill. It's absolutely most ridiculous, positively sill. The rain may pitter-patter, it really doesn't matter. For life can be delish with a sunny disposition.
Revelers and the Gene Goldkett Band and Sunny Disposition. You're listening to a one-night stand with the big bands on WTIC in Hartford, Connecticut, with tonight's program spotlighting the music of the great Gene Goldkett Band of the 20s, being brought to you by WTIC and by Russo Chevrolet, across from Bradley International in Windsor Locks. These days, it's almost impossible to give your car all the care it needs to stay in top condition without professional help. That's why it's important to buy from a dealer who feels service is just as important as the sale. When you buy from Russo Chevrolet in Windsor Locks, you've found a dealer you can rely on. Besides employing a staff with over 70 years of Chevrolet experience, they've recently enlisted the aid of an electronic engine analyzer. This highly sensitive testing device attached to your engine will inform Russo's trained mechanics of any problems with your car. And all this is done right before your eyes at the touch of a button. This new addition to their already complete service department has made Russo unique in the area. Now they can offer you better, faster service than ever before. And that's something every car owner can appreciate. So, for quality cars and dependable service, visit Russo Chevrolet, just 10 minutes from Hartford. Take the Bradley exit from I-91, then the first exit to Russo Chevrolet, across from Bradley International in Windsor Locks. Of a great trumpet star named Bix Beiderbecke from Davenport, Iowa. He wasn't around very long on the big band scene, but the impression he made back in the 20s was such that he is still remembered very fondly by all students of trumpet today. They say that there's a genius behind every major big band, and very frequently they point to the genius of the arranger. So let's talk about Bix Beiderbecke with the genius arranger with the Gene Goldkett Band, Bill Challis, who is living in Massapequa, Long Island. Bill, to begin with, how long did you know Bix Beiderbecke?
Actually, when he joined the band, the Goldkett Band, he was in a little bit before me. I went to the Whiteman Band, and he came along shortly after, so I knew him then. That was about 3 years.
He was a fantastic musician, wasn't he?
Oh, yes, great musician.
What was it that set him apart from the others? Was it the fact that he was inventive?
Very inventive, and he played piano just as well as cornet. Words can't describe it. He was unique. You know, I've never heard anyone that was any better. Well, they may have had more technique, but he had his own style. He spoke with a trumpet.
Well said. Did he ad-lib most of his solos? I've heard that he would start off ad-libbing them, and then he would keep perfecting that same ad-lib until he got something that he really liked, and then he would stay with that.
No, everyone that he played was different. Nearly everyone. Every time he played, he just thought that this is what to do at this particular time.
We think not only of Bix Beiderbecke as one of the geniuses with the Gold Cat Band, we also have to think of Eddie Lang and Joe Venuti.
No, Joe wasn't in the band at that time. He made records with us.
Let's take a couple of specifics. Do you remember Sunday, for example, Bill?
Sunday, yes.
Yeah.
That was one of the first good tunes that we got to do. And that was a chorus. It worked out. There was a three trumpet chorus in there that I worked out with Bix. We sat up one time before we made the rehearsal and worked it out. It wasn't too much. That is, it wasn't too difficult or anything. But he just played it right over. And I wrote it down and then harmonized it. And we used it on the record. And, of course, we had a vocal group to take care of one chorus. And then, inasmuch as we were playing, that they wanted the melody, they could use some improvising by Joe and Eddie. But they couldn't take it with Bix. I don't know why, but... I guess the violin and the guitar lend itself more, don't hurt the ears. So that the early records were made with improvising by Joe and Eddie, not Bix. And then when we went out on the road to do those arrangements, Bix would take those parts that Joe and Eddie had played.
That sounds interesting. Let's listen to this recording of Sunday. The vocal group is by the Keller Sisters and Lynch, the Gene Goldcat Band, and Sunday. Thank you. think that's great. It's called Sunday by the Gene Goldcat Band with a vocal by the Keller Sisters and Lynch. I must ask Spiegel Wilcox, what do you remember about that record?
Oh, Vodo Dodio.
Yeah.
killed the whole band. I mean, but there they were.
The Keller Sisters and Lynch. The Keller Sisters and Lynch,
yeah.
And a record called Sunday.
Right.
It was probably very forward-sounding at that point, a vocal trio.
Of course, they were hired in as ringers. In fact, every vocal that took place in the whole Goldcat band was either, you know, hired. Well, Frank Bessinger is on one of
the. Yes, that's
and
right.
Billy Murray, he's the one that sang I'm Looking Over. Billy Murray. And,
one of your favorite songs, right?
But anyway, Billy Murray, he was on a lot of Victor records. Maybe he had an in with the recording manager, Ed King, see? There was a guy that was pretty straight-laced right there. I'm sure Ed King is gone. He can't hear me say this, but he just wasn't awful popular with the band, but he was the recording manager for Victor. Like, and he'd go sit down at the piano, he says, here's what we're going to do here. And he'd take a few bars and cut out something maybe that we thought was good, see? So he did cut out some nice things that I do remember.
That's unfortunate that very frequently the Goldcat Band did not put on record some of the outstanding things that they played when they were in person. So what we have as a sample of what the Goldcat Band really sounded like really isn't terribly representative.
Yeah. Good. Speak,
you know, another thing that I notice in listening to these, the guitar line, Eddie Lang, the guitar played such an integral part. It was almost, the foundation for what the band seemed to be playing.
Right. Oh, that Eddie Lang. Eddie, of course, and Joe
Venuti.
Oh,
yeah.
They were inseparable. In every recording we made, when we go to New York, Eddie and Joe were there. Let's see, I'm going to meet my sweetie now. I think probably he does one of those little interludes. It's so good, but there was real fine musicianship. Or that Joe Venuti, he was something. I got acquainted with him, and he was a clown, but oh, he's so good.
So Spiegel Wilcox remembers that record, I'm going to meet my sweetie now. I wonder if arranger Bill Chalice does.
I remember that, too.
That's one of your arrangements, Bill.
That's right.
Yeah. That's the one.
Thank you.
The Gene Goldcat Band, and I'm gonna meet my sweetie now. That's One of a Kind. Joe Venuti recorded that in 1927 with his Blue Four. It's an excerpt from something called Penn Beach Blues. I think it would be totally inappropriate to talk about the great Gene Goldcat Band without contacting and interviewing Joe Venuti, so we placed a transcontinental telephone call. We had to place it very early in the morning, too, out in Seattle, Washington at 7 a.m. Joe Venuti was already on his way to the golf course, but he stopped long enough to visit with us a bit. And Joe, we've admired your genius for a very long time. You are one of a kind. I don't think anyone else has ever approached what you've done with jazz violin. Was that your intention from the beginning when you began playing the instrument? Was jazz what you started to play?
No, none whatsoever. I started with a regular curriculum, you know, classical training, and I stayed right with it all the time, you know.
When did you discover jazz?
When I was a little kid, I liked to improvise, you know, and that's the only form we had. You can't do it much in classical training.
Mm-hmm. You came to the public forefront, you were quite young. Was Goldcat the first big band that you played with?
No, I worked with Paul Speck.
Uh-huh.
And we worked with a band out of Atlantic City of Charlie Kerr. And Eddie Lang and I were always together, you know.
I wondered about that. When did you first meet Eddie Lang?
Well, we were kids together. We played in the same orchestra in high school and 1 year in college.
He was an absolute genius, too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he certainly was. Without Eddie, there would be no guitar today.
Yeah.
I always affirm that.
Yeah, I think that's giving him all the credit he deserves, too, because he was a fantastic musician. In your career with Goldcat, I was surprised to learn you and Eddie Lang recorded with the Goldcat Band, but you did not appear with them live when they were playing their dates, did you?
I did, yes, but not Eddie.
Uh-huh.
Eddie had so many contracts with the various recording companies, but I worked with the Goldcat Band on and off for about 4 years.
How old are you now, Joe, may I ask?
Oh, about 70.
Are you still playing?
Oh, sure.
We're calling you at 7 o'clock in the morning out at your home. What are your plans for today? Now, do you have a job today?
Oh, no, I play a little golf. I come home, practice.
You're still practicing?
Oh, sure, you have to.
A genius is no accident. Good luck. I hope you beat par, Joe. Incidentally, we're very hopeful that Joe Venuti will be coming east in the near future, and we'll be able to do a lengthy interview with him so that we can trace his career, not only with the Goldcat Band, but in the later years and right up through 1973, because he is still very active. Now let's play another of my old favorites from the Gene Goldcat Band. Bill Challis, was this one of your arrangements? It's a special favorite of mine called Clementine.
Oh, yeah. I get credit for making that arrangement, but I didn't.
Oh, it's not yours.
No, I was
about to give you the credit.
By that time.
Uh-huh.
It was made about, I was already with the Whiteman Band when that was made. Now, that was, I think, about the last thing that was recorded, or it was one of the last. That was while the band was still in the Roseland. Now, that was a put-together. I think they took a print orchestration, and I think Howdy Quixel made the introduction and possibly the ending. And probably Don Murray harmonized some of the parts. I think there's a trombone saxophone chorus in there too. And then Bix, of course, you never wrote anything for him. And Joe and Eddie, there's nothing written for them. That's all faked.
Thank you.
I think that's a great recording of Clementine featuring Bix Beiderbecke and Joe Venuti and the Gene Goldkett Band. Russell Chevrolet and Windsor Locks wants this coming summer to be the best summer you've ever had, the summer you see the USA in a beautiful new Chevy. That's why they're offering special spring sale prices on all their beautiful new Chevy models. Many young families get carried away by Chevelle. Others prefer the Impala, a car that starts you relaxing before you get where you're going. Or what about the sporty Camaro, the economical Nova, or one of the many handy wagons? Stop in and talk to one of Russo's experienced salesmen. He knows his products, and he'll be happy to show you the features of all the exciting new Chevrolet models. At Russo, you'll find over 100 new Chevys in all models, and all at tremendous savings during the great spring sale. There's immediate delivery on most models, so make 73 your year for Chevy and for Russo Chevrolet. Russo Chevrolet is just minutes from Hartford. Take the Bradley exit from I-91, then the first exit to Russo Chevrolet, directly across from Bradley International in Windsor Locks. We move along in years now to the post-Bix Beiderbecke and Joe Venuti period of the Gene Goldkett Band. This was recorded approximately the late 20s, and it was after most of the people we had been talking about had left, many of them, to join the Paul Whiteman Band. This is the Kansas City Goldkett Band, and I think it's a fine recording that's indicative of the later style that the orchestra picked up. That's just my way of forgetting you.
If you see me down singing some cabaret, just my way of forgetting you. Where you were the one, there's a new one each day. That's just my way of forgetting you. If I gave myself the time to think about you, I'd go mad to think that I'm without you. Each night now I pray that I may find a way of forgetting you.
That was the later Gene Goldkett Band, 1928, recorded in Chicago, and that's just my way of forgetting you. Let's go back to backtrack just a little bit and interview again arranger Bill Chalice. Bill, I've read someplace that it was the final days of the Goldkett Band. The band had actually become top-heavy in the salary department, And I guess several of you realized that its days were numbered. And I believe it was one of the Dorsey brothers who brought in Paul Whiteman. And he went over and started to direct the band, and the audience reaction was tremendous.
Down in Atlantic City, I recall that.
Yes, and then suddenly some of the fellows in the band looked up, and there standing and watching the whole thing very sadly was Gold Cat. Is that story true?
Yes, it is. The word had spread around that the band was going to break up. And I think that they came down here to hear the band, Whiteman, Buzzy, Bing Crosby, Jimmy. Yeah, a bunch of them came down there.
Bill, what about the later Gold Cat band?
Well, there was another band that was out in Kansas City. After the band, after the Gold Cat band broke up, Charlie Horvath, the manager, who managed the ballroom also, the Greystone, he went down to Kansas City, and they formed a band down there. It was an excellent band. I think Hoagie Carmichael played piano. And I remember Matt and Natalie. I met a lot of the guys in Chicago at one time, and they had come up there to do some recording. Well, they had an excellent band anyway. They put a band together there, and I know they made records. At that time, I was with the Whiteman band.
So right.
I've heard it, but I never followed it up too much.
It seems that whole later band is a void. We can't find very much out about it in any of the books or through any of the records or any of the labels. We're very hopeful that a forthcoming book that we understand is now in the process of being prepared will shed some light on that later band. Let's listen to the Gold Cat Band in this post-star period one more time with the romantic style 1929 recording of She's Funny That Way. And so it's theme time for the Gold Cat Band. This is My Pretty Girl. In his book, The Big Bands, George T. Simon wrote that this was a legendary, star-studded band. It was recognized by musicians throughout the nation as one of the truly great bands, full of spirit, musical kicks, and brilliant musicians. We hope you agree. Our thanks to our special guests tonight, jazz violinist Joe Benuti, arranger Bill Chalice, and a dear old friend, trombonist Spiegel Wilcox, the youngest 69-year-old in the world today. This program was produced and edited by Brian Hartnett, with engineering by Bob Sherago and Dick French. Our next one-night stand with the big bands is scheduled on WTIC Radio on May 9, 9:05 until 10 p.m. It's been brought to you by WTIC and by Russo Chevrolet, across from Bradley International in Windsor Locks, where tremendous values are blooming during the great spring sale. Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you next month. This is Arnold Dean on a one-night stand.